Zeche Nishmas, Avi Mori Yaakov, Yisrael Pinchas, Zeche Nishmas, Daniel Ashein, about Yeshua Pollock. Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
How's everything?
Good morning, Rabbi.
Hi, Rabbi Avram. Good to see you, Rabbi Avram.
Thanks, Rabbi.
How's
it going?
Good, good. I already gave in the packet this morning.
Great.
Well, what's your schedule today?
I don't know, sure till 12 something. No. I don't know, nothing special.
Okay, so maybe I'll give you more for the next.
Yeah. What packet are we going to work on next?
We'll probably do two more Pikuach Nefesh packets, and then we'll maybe focus more on Chumash packets.
Okay.
And then back to the Rabbi Vorhin packet. So there's always what to do. Okay.
So how did the Pre-Megadim come out?
Yeah, it's good. Very good.
It came out, you could read it?
100%. Yeah, it's good. 100%.
Okay, cool.
Okay, Rabbi, good morning. How are you? Today we start a new packet. B10, right? So this is a very famous topic, and about waiting between milk and meat. And so we have a nice big packet here, 33 pages, and so it takes us some time to go through it. And okay. So the Gemara on Chulin on Kuf Hey Amud Aleph says, "By Minei Rav Asi Mir Rav Yochanan, Kama Yishe Bein Basar L'Gvina." How much should you wait between meat and milk? How much should you wait? So the Gemara says, "Amar Leiv Lo Klum." You don't have to wait anything. So that you're not, if you had meat, you can't have milk. Gvina muto lechol basar. Elakami yishab and gvina le basar, I'm a leva lo klum. So if you had meat, milk first, and then you had the meat, then you don't have to wait. But achol basar also lechol gvina. So, then the Gemara continues. Gufa, Amar Rav Chista, Achal Basar, Oso Lachal Gvina. Gvina Mutar Lachal Basar. Amar Rav Acha, Bar Rav Yosef, Lachal Chista. Basar Shebein Hashinayim Mahu. What's the din if you have meat between your teeth? So you have meat between your teeth. Could you have? Could you have cheesecake? If you have meat between your teeth, could you have cheesecake? So the Gemara says, "Amar le Rav Acham Bar Yosef Rav Chista Basar Sheben Shinayim Al Kamar le Habasar Edeno Ben Shinayim." That the pasuk says, "Habasar odenu ben shineim." Rashi, "Habasar odenu al mikri basar." In other words, so you see from that pasuk that if you have basar between your teeth, it's called basar, because the pasuk says, "Habasar odenu ben shineim." So therefore, the Gemara says from here that we see that the halacha is that what that. That it's called meat. Therefore, if you still have, say you ate meat a couple of hours ago and you still have pieces of meat between your teeth, then you can't have an ice cream now, a milk-like ice cream. That's why the minig in Hilchas Nida is that a woman shouldn't eat meat the day she's going to the mikveh. If she's going to the mikveh, say Tuesday night, so Tuesday day she shouldn't have meat. Her body says also chicken. She shouldn't have meat because it gets stuck. So even though you could You could brush it out. You could do whatever. But we're afraid you're gonna forget. Except if it's Malka. Oh, Benji Katz. Beautiful. You see your face. Beautiful.
Yep.
Okay, nice to see you. But if it's a Shabbos meal, Yontif meal, then you could, and she's going to the mikveh that night, then you could eat meat for Shabbos and Yontif. Then he'll get out the busser afterwards, you know, before you go to the mikveh, you know. But that's a minute. You know, people every once in a while call. Oh, they're having a family barbecue, and it's the mikveh night that night. So I say, so then don't have meat. You know, you'll have coleslaw, you'll have other things, but you won't have the meat. Because the minhag is not to have meat on the day you go into the mikveh. Unless it's a sudas mitzvah. Everybody's machmir on chasinas, interesting. He's machmer chasinus, that if you shouldn't eat meat at the chasin if you have a mikveh night that night.
Right.
What?
What about a bris mila or like a siyum or something?
Yeah. So. Right. So. I mean. Yeah. I mean, we'll have to see. But like Suda Shabbos, Suda Yontif, we're mekel.
Same thing with
oaf? Oaf also, yeah. Everybody's was also oaf, also chicken. Not to have the day of the mikveh. I mean, that day before.
The mucker is with oaf, right? The pasuk?
I mean, you mean habasar, but no, those was we treat the same pasuk. I mean, the mikveh, the mucker for mikveh is just a minhag, but the. In other words, Oaf, Abbasar ben Shinaim, I guess we can consider the Oaf also.
The quail that came, the slav, was an Oaf.
That's right, that's true. Let's talk about quails. That's right, that's a good point. It was quails, it was Oaf. And then it's called Abbasar, so that's a very good point. So then the Gemara says, Amar Mar Ukva Ana. Now the next Gemara is a very interesting Gemara. That's one of the inspirations for me to write my whole Sefer on Minhagim, was this line in the Gemara. That the Gemara says, Amar Mar Ukva. What?
Rebbe.
Yes.
First of all, the problem of the mikvah, if the meat is in between her teeth for more than 6 hours, it's already considered equal, right?
For basar b'chalav purposes, maybe. But not for a mikvah purposes.
Uh-huh. So even if it's longer than 6 hours.
Even if it's longer than 6 hours, you have to get rid of the meat between the teeth.
All right, because she's makbid. Okay. She's makbid.
Yeah. I am vinegar, the son of wine, compared to my father. Like my father, he's the real deal. He's the wine. I'm just vinegar. Meaning, I'm not a lower madrega than my father. How so? My father would eat meat today. And he won't eat cheese till the next day. He'll eat in the afternoon some meat. He won't eat milk till like 24 hours later. That's what he's saying about his father. And me, I'm not so great. What do I do? The il ana b'hasu dosa hu dulo achilna. But me, I won't eat meat in this meal that I'm eating. I won't eat cheese in the meal that I'm eating meat, but I'll eat it the next meal. So a couple hours later when I have the next meal. But my father, he would wait till the next day. He would wait till the next day. And I'll only wait till the next meal. V'ilana b'hasudasa hu d'lo achilna v'lo sudasa achrisa achilna. So this was the, there was, someone wrote an article in Tchumen about this, and that was the inspiration for me to go through the whole sugya of Minhagim. And there's a machlokes hapoiskim. Why didn't he follow his father's minhag? Why didn't he follow his father's minhag? Right, if this is what his father did, why didn't he follow his father's minhag? So there's machlokes between the pre-chadash and the pre-toar. The pre-toar is the Or Chaim HaKadosh. You know, the sefer pre-toar. So you know what the pre-chadash says? The pre-chadash says yisod, that there's no such thing as minhag avos. Minhag is only a din in minhag hamakom. In other words, if you come from a community, like, you see, the problem is today in America we don't have too many communities. We don't have the concept of kehila. The kehila is very limited in America. Like the Hasidim are very good with this. The Hasidim have a kehila. You know, like Satmar has a kehila, Lubavitch has a kehila. Like Rav Goodman says, what does a kehila mean? A kehila means. A kehila means that Rav Goodman pointed out, it's a shul with a mikveh and a yeshiva and a shechita and a kashrus. That's a kehila. There was a shul that you have today. Any given shul today is a nice, fine entity, but it's not a kehila. It's not a kehila. It's a shul. So you daven, you know. Of course, the shul has rules because there can't be anarchy in the shul.
Thank you very much.
Okay, please, Rabosai, if everyone can mute themselves, please mute themselves. And if you need to talk, then please unmute yourself. Okay, everyone should mute themselves because there's disturbances during the shiur. But I always like people to speak up. So when you want to speak, then you unmute yourself, right? That works? Okay, so the question is, why didn't he follow his father's minhag? The answer is, there's no such thing as your father's minhag. Minhag has to be the minhag of the city. In other words, in Europe, there were kehilas. There was a whole kehila. So the kehila had a minhag. Like Broyers is a kehila. Broyers has a yeshiva and a shechita and a mikveh and a kashrus. That's a kehila. Satmar has a kehila. Like my wife said, the only one that's more in the modern Orthodox world of a kehila is in Elizabeth, New Jersey, in Rav Teitz. So he made a kehila. He made a school and a mikvah and an eruv and a shechita. That Ruben points out, that's a kehila. Everything else is just, like Rav Goodman said, is just like a shtiebel. In other words, like the big shuls say, we're not shtiebel, we're a shul. But it's really, like Rav Goodman pointed out, it's just like a shtiebel. So it's nice. Hopefully people get along and everything like that. But it's not a kehila. So he says the only concept of minhag is minhag hamokum, not minhag avos. That's what the, and Rav Gedalia Berger points out in Shas. You never see the concept of minhag avos. You see the concept of holech mi mokum lo mokum, the minhag of a shtot, of a kehila. That's the opinion of what? Of the pre-chadash. So therefore, the whole kehila didn't keep this 24-hour thing. So he doesn't have to follow what his father keeps, because there's no such thing as minhag avos. It's minhag ha-kehila. And this wasn't it was a special chumrah that his father had. So he doesn't have to keep it. Because it wasn't the minhag hamakom, it wasn't that the whole kehila was keeping. That was the opinion of the pre-chadash. The pre-Torah disagrees, and the pre-Torah says no. There's a concept of minhag avos also. Oh, so the question is, so if there's a concept of a minhag avos also, so how come he didn't do what his father said? So the pre-Torah answers, because minhag avos is only if your father wants you to do it. In other words, your father might have chumras, but he's not asking his son to implement those chumras. So therefore, he doesn't have to. The concept of minhag avos, according to Pri-Chad, there's no such thing as minhag avos. But according to the pre-Torah, there is, but that's only if the father is asking that this minhag be kept. And apparently over here, he knew that this was a chumra that he had, and he wasn't necessarily asking his son to keep the minhag. So that's two shatim in the Gemara of the Pri-Chadosh and the Pri-Torah. Why did the son not do what the father was doing? Either because the Pri-Chadosh,
Rebbe, isn't there an issue? Don't we dash from the Pasuk Atitash Torah Simech, that there's an inyan to follow your minagovas?
Yeah, so that's a question, what that refers to. Is that. Maybe that only refers to a minhag hamakom. That's what the Pri-Chadosh says. And the Pri-Torah says it refers to minhag avos, but provided that the avos want the son to keep that minhag. So that's it's a fact. You read my sefer in Minhagim. That's why I wrote this whole sefer in Minhagim, to explain what Minhagim are binding, when Minhagim are not binding, etc.
Rebbe?
Yes?
But also, what about the element of Misora? Like, if his father did this and he did it, it seems like he was doing it Peshitta. Isn't there still an element of Misora?
Yeah, but it could be that the father realizes that his son is not yet ready for that. Not everything your father does, if you're not on that Madrega, is it? Does he want you, or is it healthy for you to do? Because the father obviously is much older than the son, and the father might not want. Doesn't think the son is ready to implement, that thing. Okay. Now the question is like this: what is the reason why there's the? In other words, we know Basa B'chalav is only Derech Bishul Asra Torah. Right? It's Derech Bishul. So obviously, if you're waiting, it wasn't cooked, it was meat and then milk, 2 hours later, 3 hours later, 4 hours later. So what's the idea? Why is it that we have this halacha, this extra chumrah of waiting between meat and milk? So Rashi says, let's see Rashi, Osu lechol gvina mishum debosar motzi shuman, who nidbak bepeh umarech betamo. As he says, because when you have meat, the meat gives out a taste that comes out of the meat when you're eating the meat, and that taste is going to remain in your mouth for some time. And we don't want you to have ice cream when that taste, because then it looks like basar b'chalav, even though it's clearly not basar b'chalav because it wasn't cooked together. But as long as you have a taste of meat, that's the extra chumrah that Chazal implemented. That as long as you have extra, as long as you have the taste of meat in your mouth, they don't want you to have milk in that time. And therefore, meat exudes a taste, and therefore Chazal didn't want you to have milk, milk like ice cream, when you still have a taste of meat in your mouth. Okay? That is the explanation of Rashi. The Rambam has a different explanation. Let's see the Rambam. On page 3. Compare Tess, Hilchos Macholos Asuras, Halacha Chaf Ches. Misha Ochal Basa Betchila Bein Basa Behema Bein Basa Of, Layochal Acher of Cholov, Achie Beinem Kidei Shir Suda Acheres, Fukumo Shei Shos, Mipnei HaBasa Shal Bein HaShinayim. Sheinusar b'kinuach. So the Rambam says that the reason is that we wait the 6 hours is because of the next sugya about the meat between your teeth. Because we assume that when you eat meat, there's going to be meat between your teeth, and we don't want you to eat ice cream when there's meat between the teeth. But after 6 hours, the meat between the teeth becomes, you know, nullified. It becomes like nothing. Because the meat between the teeth, for the first 6 hours, is still considered like a mamashus of meat. But if you waited and lingered in your mouth, between your teeth, for 6 hours, then we say it's like a garnished. It's all, it's like nothing. It's not even like meat anymore. So therefore, the they didn't go through that. So that's the... So those are two different reasons. Rashi's reason is it has to do with the taste that exudes in your mouth after you eat the meat. And that's Rashi. And the Rambam says it's because of the basar ben hashinayim. So the Tur discusses this. Take a look at the Tur. What page is the Tur?
It's
1920. 1920, okay. So says the Tur here, 19. Achal basar loshna. Behem mechayev of lo yochal gvin achara that she yisha kishir she mizman tzuris boga zman tzuris erf okay to she shol so feel him shol yeah so he says the fish abasa motzi shuman so first he quotes Rashi's opinion that the basar is motzi shuman u'moshech tam adzman aruch. Fizeh tam lo ochlo ela shalom. So, and then later he's going to give you the Rambam's reason. Rambam nosan tam mishem basar shebein hashinayim. So the Tur gives an afkemina. So, again, Rashi's reason is Basar Ben Hashinayim, and Tosus's reason. Rashi's reason is the tam of the in the mouth, and Tosus's reason is Basar Ben Hashinayim. So, what's the nafkamina? So he says like this: what if im lo achlo ela loso latinok? In other words, sometimes you have a piece of meat that you want to give to your child. But the piece of meat is a little bit hard, and it's not so good for the child to eat such meat, because it'll be too tough to digest. It'll be too. So what they would do is they would take the piece of meat, they would give it to an adult, and the adult would chew the meat, and then give it and take it out of the mouth, and then give it to the kid. So that's called loes latinok. So do you have to wait 6 hours on such a thing? So the Torah says like this. If you hold basar ben hashinayim, so there's going to be basar ben hashinayim over here, because you're chewing the meat. But since you're not swallowing it, you're just chewing it and spitting it out, you're not really tasting it in a proper way of eating it, so then the tam in the mouth doesn't exude. And therefore, so according to Rashi's reason, you wouldn't have to wait the 6 hours. And according to the Rambam's reason, you would have to wait the 6 hours. So he says, L'fisha basa motzi shuman v'loshech tam adzman aruch v'fizeh hatam im lo'ochlo elo shalosu l'tinok ein tzorach l'hazmin l'hamtin v'kein shalo'ochlo ein motzi tam. The Rambam nosan tam l'shia Mishum Bosa Shebein Hashinayim. And the Rambam is saying it's Bosa Bein Hashinayim. Mufi Dvar V'lacha Sheshok Shir Mutar Afil Nishar Bosa Bein Hashinayim. But according to the Rambam, it has to do with Bosa Bein Hashinayim. V'alois Latinok Tzarech Lahamtin V'tov So that's one nafkamina. That's one nafkamina of Lois Latino. But now he gives another nafkamina, which really he said before. What if you waited the 6 hours and there's still Basar Bein Hashinayim? What would be then? So there he says that the Rambam would be a kula. Why? Because the Rambam is saying that 6 hours is Basar Bein Hashinayim. So it's mashma that after the 6 hours, if there's Basar Bein Hashinayim, it's still there, but the 6 hours came already, you could eat your ice cream, your milchic ice cream. Because it's already, the tam already, in other words, the 6 hours is the shear of how much time we give to the Basar Bein Hashinayim. But after the 6 hours, it's over. That's the Rambam Shita. However, according to Rashi, Basar Bein Hashinayim, the reason for the 6 hours is the tam. So what about Basar Bein Hashinayim according to Rashi? So says the Torah, according to Rashi, Basar Bein Hashinayim never evaporates. So if you waited 8 hours and there's still Basar Bein Hashinayim, according to Rambam, you can leave it there and have your ice cream. But according to Rashi, no, because the 6 hours is only at the end of the time. The Basar Bein Hashinayim has no limit to it. So if the Basar Bein Hashinayim is still there, you should take it out before you eat your ice cream. That's really the first nafkamina. And the second nafkamina is Lois Latino. So according to the So each one has a chumra and a kula. Because, in other words, the two nafkaminas are what's the din of Basar Bein Hashinayim after 6 hours? And the second nafkamina is what's the din of Lois Latinok. So according to the Rambam, Basar Bein Hashinayim after 6 hours is okay. Because the whole reason of the 6 hours is Basar Bein Hashinayim. So it means we only care about Basar Bein Hashinayim for 6 hours. So according to the Rambam, it would be a kula. But the lowest Latinok, according to Rashi, there's no tam, so that it would be okay. But according to the Rambam, you'd have to be machmir, because. Because since you're lois latinok, there's Basar Bein Hashinayim. According to the Rashi, if you're lois latinok, you don't have to wait anything. So in one case, the Rambam is the mekel. In the other case, the Rambam is the machmir. In Basar Bein Hashinayim, after 6 hours, the Rambam is the mekel. And Rashi is machmir. Because according to Rashi, there's no limit of when Basar Bein Hashinayim is. And in the second case of Lois Latinok, according to the Rambam, it's what? Lois Latinok, according to the Rambam, is going to be a problem because of Basar Bein Hashinayim. But according to Rashi, it's not a problem because there's no time in your mouth. And the Torah says, what's the halacha? He says, "V'tov le'achos b'chumre shnei hata'amim," that you should be machmir in both cases. Even though, really, if you're a Rambam person, you could be mekel after 6 hours of the Boshe Ben Yishinayim. He says you should be machmir like Rashi, and by lois latinok, according to Rashi, it should be okay. We should be machmir like the Rambam. So whenever it comes out of chumra, you should follow the chumra dikashita. That's the that's what the Torah says. Again, I've been saying 6 hours. I've been saying 6 hours. We'll discuss, you know, where, you know, the Gemara never uses the word 6 hours. The Gemara says from Suda to Suda. So I'm just using 6 hours as just an easy way of saying it. We're going to go into the nitty-gritty of where is 6 hours. Does it have to be 6 hours? Can it be less than 6 hours? Etc. Yeah, someone wanted to say something?
Yeah.
Who's talking?
Sani.
Why
does the Torah think that is machlokes between Rashi and the Rambam, how long the basar could last?
Because according to the Gemara afterwards, has a basar ben yishinayim mahu, right? So, and it says it's a problem. So pashtus is, it's a problem forever, as long as the basar ben yishinayim is still there. But according to the Rambam, that's goof for the reason for the 6 hours. So then it can't be, so after the 6 hours, for shteitzich, it means that the basar ben yishinayim doesn't count anymore. Because that's goof for the reason for the 6 hours. You follow, Sonny?
Yeah.
So let's take a look. In the Shulchan Aruch a little bit. Take a look in the Shulchan Aruch. Take a look. Let's see the page. 1 second. On page 23. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Ochel basar afilu shel chai ve'ov lo yochel gvin acharav. Okay. So the Mechaber quotes both chumers, that when it comes to Bosar ben Yishinayim, after 6 hours, you still have to take it out, like the sheet of Rashi. V'alois l'tinok, tzarech l'hamtin, like the sheet of the Rambam. So those are the so that's what he says over here. So he has the two chumras that the Torah says we should follow. The Rambam has as well. Now. second. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, now there's another nafkamina between the shitas that's found in the Taz. But and take a look here on page 25. Okay, sound points out. Take a look at page 25. So if you'll take a look, one second. So the Taz here in Sif Cotton Dalit. Look in the Ramah, in Sif Beis, in the Ramah on page 25. It says, Yesh machmiran afilo bebosar achagvina. That those that are machmir, even for meat after cheese. So what's this idea? So look in the Taz. In the middle of the page here, the first word on the line is Have Gvina. Have Gvina, on the left side on page 25. Two lines above where I put the arrow. Lotam shezacharti shum mishum shuman, pshita yesh lasor gam begvina betolash, shetam shalom minimshach, bepez man rav. We have a concept, we'll have a separate share of this, about hard cheese. You know, certain cheeses, I'm sure you've heard, that there's an inyan to wait 6 hours between the cheese and the meat. But certain cheeses that the process, of making the cheese lasted a long time. So what's the idea? He says, because those cheeses have a sharpness to it, and the taste lingers on for a long time. So that's the chumrah of the Ramah, that yesh machmirin afilu b'basar achar gvina. So says the Taz, but that makes sense. Aval ani asdai de davkim gvina betolas yesh lahachmir, v'midina mitam shezacharnu. In other words, he's saying, if you hold the reason of Rashi, then it makes sense. According to Rashi, the tam basar is nimshach. So some cheeses are hard cheeses that the tam is nimshach of the cheese. So Mela, that's where this comes from, the idea of waiting 6 hours between eating cheese first and then meat. But the Taz says that's only if you work with the shita of Rashi. If you work with the shita of the Rambam, it's only a din of habasar odenu ben shineim. There's nothing to do with cheese, even though the cheese is sharp, it doesn't matter. It's all about the basar shebein hashinayim. Right? So Mela, the Taz is saying that this idea of waiting between having meat, milk first and then meat, cheese first and meat, is only by hard cheeses, and it'll only work within the shita of Rashi. So the according to the Rambam, there should be no reason for the chumrah. But Lamaisa, the poskim say we go like both shitas l'chumra. So whenever it's a chumra, we follow that shita. So as Rabbi Sal pointed out, that would be another nafkamina between Rashi and the Rambam. Shatam shalom nimshach bepez man rav im king yish lahachra v'alanina daz davke begvina betolaz yish lahachra v'chenu medina v'tav shuzicharna v'gvina yishena v'enad betolaz. Oh, parenthetically, I wanted to say over. I was a couple of days ago. I was listening to the Hespedim for Dr. Lamb, and different people spoke. So his son-in-law, Rabbi Dratch, who was his son-in-law, unfortunately, Rabbi Lamb's that daughter was Nifteris, and Dr. Lamb's daughter, Dratch. But he said Pshat in Hamidu Talmidim Harbe. He says that a Rebbe is like a Dover Hamamid. Just like where we put the Dover, the Keva in, and it transforms. So that's what a Rebbe does. Transforms the Talmidim. Hamidu Talmidim Harbe. And the Dover Maimid is Ein Abatel. So in his Hesped, he used that parallel to this halacha of Dover Maimid. So I thought I would say it over to you fellas when I'm doing this thing. Okay, so that's the story here with now there's going to be much more to discuss of, you know, like where did this come from. If you take a look, let me just start today with one sheet to hear on page 1, Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. The Rabbeinu Tam has the biggest leniency. He says, if you have meat, you could have cheese right away. As long as you eat something and wash your mouth out. And the whole idea of having to wait is because you didn't wash out your mouth. Here, take a look. Rabbeinu Tam Mefarash V'chei Mechalochos Gedolos in the Tosfos here on page 1 and Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. The achol basar also lechol gvina heine below natil of a kinuach. You don't wash it. You don't rinse out. Aval natil of a kinuach. Wash yourself and you rinse yourself out. Achol gvina mutar lechol basar. Not below natil. Achol basar also lechol gvina hayu below natil v'kinuach. Natil v'kinuach shari. If you have natila, we'll see exactly what it is. You wash your hands, you wash out your mouth, you eat something in between, then you don't have to wait. So that's the biggest kula. And if you don't wash it out, that's when they're talking about waiting. But if you wash it out, you're good to go. So that is the biggest cooler. You know, people speak about, you know, the Dutch, they only wait 1 hour, etc. Rabbeinu Tam holds you don't have to wait a lot. As long as you rinse out, you eat something, you rinse out, you wash your hand, you know. And that's but obviously we don't paskin like the Shita. But that's the most makel Shita. Okay, we're going to stop here for now. There's a lot here, so we're getting our feet wet. You know, we're discussing the Rashi. So we saw today the Rashi, the Rambam, the Gemara, the two Nafkaminas of the Torah, of Lois Latinok and Achar Sheh Shos, when we saw the Taz, and now we saw the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. So Be'ez Hashem, on Monday, we'll continue. So this is a very, very fundamental discussions here, because this obviously you know about this all your life. That you wait between, you know, meat and milk, but now you could actually learn the nitty gritty of what it's all about and what the halachas are. Okay. Yeah.
The shita of Rabbeinu Tam, is that a good way with people with young children who don't necessarily know exactly how to count time? Is that a good shita to rely on with?
We're gonna talk about it. That's gonna come up. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it. So wait till we finish the package, you'll see that we'll be talked about. Okay, let me say hello and good Shabbos to everybody. Rav Katan, Danny Lou, Avi Lichshain, Ezra Hess, Yossi Wachshel, Ben Katz. Ben Katz and Benji Katz. And Benji, you're Benji S. Katz, right? Right? What does S stand for? What?
You're on mute.
Sadia.
Sadia. Ooh, wow. Sadia. Yeah. Okay. Okay, Michael K. Good Shabbos. Yeah, Rav Yosef Katan, Ben Katz, Benji Katz,
Doves.
Michael K, Rav Yosef Katan, Sani Spitzer, and Avi Lichtstein, Rav Avram Levitt, and Danny Liu, and Yossi Wachshel. Okay, should all have a good Shabbos, and Bez Hashem on Monday, B'siyat HaShemaya, we should continue. Bez Hashem.